Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. Have you ever wondered what is possible beyond possible? What is the thing you've been wondering and inquiring about? Are you just feeling stuck and don't know why? Are you thinking or are you seeing? Seeing allows us to expand and have this other experience. We want to invite you for that wake-up call. We want to invite your spirit, your soul, so to be more alive, more connected. Glenn Brooks has been a life coach for over 33 years, author of Divorced to Patterns, Not Each Other, an explorer of what is possible. He has worked with people all around the world. Join us for a wake-up conversation, a dialogue with you, and our regular co-hosts, the money healer, Stephanie J. Alvarez, and Dr. Nicole Kane. We will have some of the most interesting contributors. We will be talking to some of the most interesting people and have some of the most resourceful teachers, wisdom-filled people from around the world join us. Share your voice, ask the questions, become free of the known into a new world of possibility. We are going to talk about all the things you wonder about: how to live, how to heal, how to connect, how to love, how to be seen. Your life is precious. Enjoy it.
Welcome. Welcome. I'm Glenn Brooks. It's wonderful being with you today. I could just say simply that we're really discovering the wisdom. There's a wisdom that kind of goes beyond our thinking, our mechanical thinking. We have, at any moment, we have dead thinking and alive thinking. And things really begin when we go with that alive thinking. So I'm really happy you're with us. I appreciate your emails and your correspondence and your curiosity, So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to mention who's here with us today. And then I'm going to introduce you to a beloved friend of mine, someone whose work has touched people all around the planet. In a moment, I'll introduce you to Tom Monty. He's the author of a new book. And he's not just the author. I just want to say that Tom Monty, he lives and emanates as a human being a really wondrous, distinct wisdom and energy. And I have the honor of being around Tom, knowing probably close to 30 years. So he'll be with us. His new book, by the way, is called Unexpected Recoveries. And it's really about people not just regaining, but getting in touch with that vital energy that does restore us and heal us beyond diagnosis. You know, diagnosis and the mechanical medical system misses so much of the spirit of healing, the energy of healing, the wisdom that's in us, that takes us to a different place, that, if you will, changes our cells, that ignites this healing response. So, first of all, deeply welcome to you guys. I want to introduce Stephanie Alvarez in residence. She's with us, co-host. Welcome, Stephanie. Susie, the food decoder, because she is Susie, the food decoder. Of course, Tom Monty. And I'm just going to take it ahead, Tom. I'm just going to say that I'm delighted you're with us today. I've been eager about presenting something in depth with you, a regular ongoing program where people could actually dive in really deep with you, because there hasn't been a time I haven't been with you personally. You haven't said something or shared something with me that's really deeply touched and impacted me personally. Your newest book, I think, is a reflection of, oh, God knows how many books you've written, how much you've put out there. But the theme is really always the same, is how we could really tap into this spirit and this way of healing that's uncommon yet deep, meaningful, and that will change the quality of our lives. So, Tom, a wholehearted welcome to you. Welcome to Vibrant Living.
Thank you so much, Glenn. Pleasure to be with you on the show, and thank you so much for having me on.
You're welcome. So, you know, I shared this story, and it's probably worth sharing a little bit because, you know, we all have stories in our lives, and in my life, I never saw my grandmother stand up. She was in bed always. I remember it took a lot for her to write. She would strain just to write something. And so I'd go over and see her, and my grandfather and I had a language that I didn't have with anybody else. I just felt he kind of got me or received me in a way that no one else had. And the only time I saw my grandmother actually outside of that bedroom was in a hospital pool and a harness on her. So I kind of grew up in a world where I guess this quality of sickness or illness was kind of in the world, in pills, operations, interventions. the doctor, in some sense, was spoken or unspoken, some sort of God. And the idea of wellness or recovery or unexpected recovery was never spoken of. And just when I thought my life was going to change, my grandmother had passed away. I was about 17. And I was waiting for the day I could move with my grandfather, who actually somehow had a deep level of listening and caring for me. And he went to the doctor on a Wednesday. I remember the day well. And then he came back from the doctor, and the doctor said he was normal, whatever the heck that means. He was normal. He was about 65. I went out to go wrestling that night. My grandfather told me not to go. It was 10 years of forgiving myself for doing this, by the way. He passed away the next day in the morning, and my life changed deeply. I realized the person I was the closest to had left. And soon after that, I wandered into a health food store. It was a stationery store. And I picked up a magazine on health by this guy, Bob Hoffman, and I read an article on sugar. And it opened my eyes, and it kind of shifted me. What was it like for you in your journey? I've ever asked you that. You've written all these books. I know you wrote a book that was turned into a movie on Woodstock. I know you're able to read people's faces and help them make significant changes through dietary and your wonderful, insightful, philosophical, spiritual insights. What altered it? What was your life? What was Tom Monty's life as a teenager? Was there a moment that you stepped through a doorway that opened something like a divine connection to you? Because that's who you are. That's who I experience you. I experience you as someone who's genuine and there. Did that change you in a moment? Did you have an illness? What was it before you became Tom Monty, the author who teaches courses in Europe and New York with people around the world? What happened?
I was never suffering from any specific illness, though I had enormous amounts of suffering growing up, as most young people and children do. I came from a very difficult family and had a lot of struggles with the family. My parents struggled enormously, had a lot of internal conflict and were not able to find their way in the world. But I think what you bring up about the synchronicity of going into a shop and finding an article in a magazine about sugar is of great, great significance. It is for me, but I think it is for mm-hmm. everyone, because it speaks to the fact that we are guided to our answers. We have to understand that we are all being guided to solutions at every turn in our lives, and in fact, this is biologically true, even at this very instant, in every instant, you have 100 trillion cells. That's more cells in your body than there are in 100 Milky Way galaxies, more cells than there are stars in the Milky Way galaxy, 100 galaxies. And every one of those cells are doing things, performing miraculous, decisive events within those cells, going to various places on the genome. There's 25,000 genes going to places on the cell membrane, going to the mitochondria. There are jobs to be done within the cell, and those cells are performing miraculous work, and everything's being triggered by these tiny messenger proteins traveling within the cell to these precise locations. And all of that is being done, being regulated by an intelligence that is so far-reaching that nothing in the human brain could in any way perform such a task. We are each of us being run by an intelligence that is not just far beyond our human comprehension, but is infinitely loving, because all of us are making mistakes in our lifestyle and the ways that we think, the way kinds of emotions we experience, and we're violating the laws of health pretty much throughout the day. Nonetheless, this intelligence is making adjustments in every one of your cells, every one of your organs, every system, every bit of your senses, so that you can function at whatever is possible for you at any given moment, so you can experience some degree of high function and some degree of happiness. That intelligence is not just guiding our cells and the function of our organs. It's trying to direct us to specific places and specific times, so you can meet the people who will make a big difference in your life, come into information that you would have never, ever dreamt you would have encountered that day. It's constantly trying to guide us. And so the question that comes to us in our more reflective moments is, how can I create the conditions that I can listen more clearly to the divine intelligence that is directing my physical body on a cellular and organ level, on every single level, my nervous system, my consciousness, if I allow it to. How can I be directed more fully from this unconditionally loving intelligence that is guiding my life? If you look back on your life and you see, you know, you can probably just think about a dozen problems that you've had over time, or two dozen, or any number of problems you've had. In every one of those cases, when you dealt with the problem honestly and you tried not to avoid it, but as you went into it, you were guided to unexpected solutions, unexpected discoveries, answers to the problem. And that's the heart of the book that I just got done writing and published with Square One Publishers. People who were diagnosed with terminal illnesses, told by their doctors that there was no medication or surgery or any sort of experimental treatment that could have really, really helped them. They're beyond medical scientific repair. They nonetheless found a way to get well, and they searched in earnest, and they found the answers. What I discovered in interviewing hundreds of these people for more than 35 books that I've written and put into this book is that they all have seven behaviors in common. You could say seven steps in common. And those steps are outlined in the book, and the scientific validity of those steps, what they can do for you in terms of supporting your health. And that's basically the source of the book, or the core of the book.
You know what I want to do, Tom? I want to, so beautifully, I love your induction, your overview. It's so beautiful. So it reminds me, what you just said reminds me of a story that was told to me by a medicine man when I did a series in California called How Sacred Medicine Can Save Modern Man. How Sacred Medicine Can Save Modern Man. And when I said to Clon Pyle, I say, what should we say to the audience about sacred medicine? And he said, well, it's kind of like this. He said, my wife had this, she had this mole on her neck, the kindergarten teacher. And one of the kindergartners jumped on her and he ripped a mole. And next thing you know, they're at the hospital meeting with this oncologist and this surgeon. And he said the surgeon began. And he said the surgeon began to talk about the surgery. And he says, as the surgeon was describing the surgery, he could feel his wife's spirit leave her body, like she was in some ways dying as he was describing this. Because it was dreary, it was dark, there was no solution, it was mechanical, it missed some life. So he says when the surgeon finished, he said the oncologist took him by the belt buckle, dragged him out of the room and threw him out, turned around and said to Clon Pyle and his wife, he goes, I see a different story. When you said something about what you conveyed, I think is so significant that there's a solution beyond what we could see, but that doesn't mean there's not a bigger solution and that people couldn't discover a different way of well-being. So I love how succinct and rhythmic and clear you are, because you live this, and that's what I love about you. It's not as if there's a book in Tom. Tom's right there in his breath, in his body, in his experience. You know what I want to do, Tom? First of all, if anybody wants to call in, Stephanie, you'd be kind to give out the call in number. Someone around you is not well, or you've had a diagnosis, I'd love you to be able to partake in the conversation. And I want to open up to the panel as well. And why? Give out the number. Go ahead, Stephanie. What's our call in number today?
The call in number is 202-570-7057. 202-570-7057.
You know, when I remember once I met this guy, he had a stroke, Ken. His stroke at like maybe 47. And he told me until then he thought he was healthy. But then he said when he had the stroke, he discovered this other level of health he never had before. What's touched you at a deep level, Tom? You've interviewed, you said, hundreds of people who've had, you know, serious terminal diagnoses. What's something personally moving to you that changed your life writing this book? I know you've had many books, but what about this particular book and this idea that we could have an unexpected recovery? What, at the deepest personal level, how did it impact you? Maybe you could share that with people.
Yeah, I think we have to understand that healing doesn't occur by virtue of a pill or some kind of other medical intervention alone. Pharmaceuticals and surgery can certainly be supportive and important in the journey, the healing journey. And in essence, they can basically buy us time. They can, if for a person who's very seriously ill, undergoing medical treatment can be very, very valuable in terms of buying time. But there are underlying conditions that support the life of the illness. We have to understand that. However we've been living to this point, up until diagnosis, has been at the essence of the problem. And so lifestyle, that is to say diet, ways of thinking, ways of kinds of emotions we experience, how much exercise we get, you know, our daily lifestyle, the various patterns, but and really very, very important, the kinds of habits we maintain, these things have all combined to create the conditions that support an illness, the arising of an illness. You've got to understand that most of the illnesses that make people sick today and kill us are they're growing in power over decades, so they're not overnight illnesses. Cancer can be developing over a 10-year period or longer, same as heart disease, same as diabetes, metabolic syndrome, all the very serious illnesses, Alzheimer's, asthma. They're all they're slow-growing progressions until they reach a place of critical mass in which they can accelerate their progression very, very rapidly. But we have to understand that it's a multifactorial underlying foundation that leads to illness. The same must be said about becoming healthy again. And if that is true, which it absolutely is, there must be some underlying connection that we can make to the source of health. That is to say, we all need oxygen. This is a law of our lives. The amount of oxygen we get tends to cause us to live longer, experience more vitality, more energy. Our cells are more vital and alive. We have a certain laws that support health. Well, that's the case because we have a specific kind of design that is inherently the product of the creator of this organism that we inhabit for however many years that we're on this physical journey. When we come back into alignment, listening to that inner voice that is guiding every one of our cells, guiding our life choices, in so many cases, if we learn to listen, if we come into alignment with the fundamental laws that are on our health and essential for healing, what happens is, the underlying conditions that created the illness in the first place, they start to change. They start to erode. They don't support illness any longer. In fact, they support health. And there's 7 behaviors that I've written about that.
Well, we're going to tell you what, Tom. We're going to go to a pause. We're going to go to what some people might call a station break. I don't call it that. I always call things differently. I don't know why. I just do. I language things differently. You're listening to Vibrant Living. The Vibrant Living Network. I'm Glenn Brook. Talking to Tom Monte, beloved friend, author of many, many wondrous books on natural health. We're going to continue about the soul of healing, physical healing, and you. Your life's precious. Enjoy it. Stay with us. We'll continue.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Lisa Barry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
exhaling. Exhaling and inhaling. Each moment we're alive a little bit more, right? We exhale the old, we exhale the debris. You're listening to the Vibrant Living Network. I'm Glenn Brooks. Honored to be with you today. Talking to Tom Monty, who certifies people as natural health counselors in both Europe and also New York. A very close friend of mine. His books have touched the lives of many people around the world. Looking to the deeper nature of healing, his recent book, Unexpected Recovery, the 7 steps that really activate the soul, the physical healing, and also the attitudes. What are the attitudes? What are those invisible factors that allow us to not die with the diagnosis, but to allow ourselves to be proactive and to listen to that, to the beautiful divine guidance. Tom has a beautiful way of communicating what that is. So what I want to do, since we have this wonderful panel, Kim Shimori just joined us. We're going to be kicking off a series on vibrant medicine. If any of you have a question or something you want to share, please do. God, Tom, you said so many things that are so poignant and powerful. And so illness or the perception of when we're challenged could lead to a bigger, more vibrant way of being well. And so instead of symptoms being our enemy, to maybe embrace them and allow them to teach us or inform us or touch us into a new way of life, a new way of breathing and a new way of eating and seeing. So out of those 7 steps, what are 2 steps? Yeah, there's 7 of them that begin to make us more receptive to healing, that make us have this unexpected. How many people do you want to feel like an unexpected healing right now? How many people would like something like that? So I want you guys to tune into this. And you can email me, and I'll pass these questions on to Tom. In a moment, I'm going to give you my email address. I will pass these on to Tom. I'll make sure that when he's on the air again, he'll respond to those. So if something occurs to you, you'll have a link here. In a moment, I'm going to give you the email address. What would you like to share? And again, my panel, my wonderful panel, if you have any questions or comments for Tom. Susie, the food decoder. It's so much to do with decoding not just food, but all our lives. Right? Because all of a sudden, like one day we go someplace and it's poisoning us, but we don't notice it. The next day we kind of decode it and we realize, oh, I'm in a place where there's no oxygen or the energy's not good. It's kind of like, how much in the next moment could we be more awake? And if I hear you correctly, Tom, you're saying as we become more awake, this divine guidance system, this inner radar, begins to guide us, and at the same time the cells and the physicality begin to perhaps go into a different rhythm, and that rhythm allows us to experience what people would call well-being or activated healing. How would you say? How would you want to share with the audience?
Right. I think what you just said is true, but I think we have to understand that there are factors in our lives that create enormous amounts of dissonance, chaos, biological chaos, energetic chaos. And the first is fear. People have to learn how to deal with fear, especially after a diagnosis. The example you gave about the Native American healer is a good example, because what happens when people get diagnosed is that they fear accelerates and drives brain function into the beta cycles, the high frequency, high chaos kinds of cycles that stop us from being able to hear anything, even the bad news that's coming from the doctor, much less more subtle energies that are coming from divine intelligence. So we have to deal with fear. And that's the first step in the book, not only dealing with fear, but also developing a compassionate relationship with ourselves. And among the ways that we have to do that is basically, practically speaking, after a diagnosis, a person has to allow themselves to go into a bit of a shock and disengage from the problem for a little bit so that the inner life can reorganize itself and adjust to the information. But in time, what we really need is to come back to a compassionate relationship with ourselves, in the sense that we have to call upon an archetype that lives in every single person, which is the mother archetype. And I give examples of this throughout the book, coming into a gentle relationship with the divine mother or the divine, the archetypal mother within every one of us. There are examples throughout the world really all good healers have a very strong maternal and paternal energy that makes us feel safe. And you can connect with various kinds of healers that hold you in an energy, both male and female, that make you feel safe and give you comfort. And that's among the first things we have to do, develop with ourselves, develop a very strong energetic connection with ourselves that treats the body gently and slows everything down and brings us into the present moment more fully, more in depth, and know that there's another voice inside of you that says, you're going to be all right, we're going to get you through this. And that voice needs to be reinforced by complementary healers who can comfort you and get you into a different rhythm with yourself that helps you come out of fear. The second thing is you have to take back your power. You must find out more and more about your illness and make decisions for yourself. In the end, you can use your medical doctor's information. He's going to tell you the odds. He's going to tell you what drugs to take and what surgeries to have that need to be performed. You can get all the information about the illness that you can gather, but in the end, you must make a decision yourself in terms of whether you want this or that treatment. But then you must take back the power. And part of the way you take back the power is to expand your knowledge base, find out everything you can about the illness from a medical standpoint, but also expand into complementary medicine and find out what the approaches are from dietary, nutritional points of view, from acupuncture and Chinese medicine, Ayurveda. There's many other medical modalities, healing modalities that will help you, hands-on healing and so forth. But then the third one is a really big one, and it's an absolute essential one, and you must find out the power of food to change your biochemistry and undermine the supports for the illness. My book documents the scientific evidence that supports using diet in the treatment of all the major illnesses, and essentially there are three pillars that support illness, and that if you change these pillars, it will create the conditions where the illness will change and go into remission or actually disappear because those pillars are no longer supported. You must the first is you must lower insulin levels. Insulin is raised whenever we eat processed foods, sugar, and foods that go into stress. But any food that's going to create a glucose spike is going to create high insulin. High insulin is a mitogen. It's a signal to your cells to replicate. Anyone with cancer who has high insulin levels, you are actually feeding the disease. When you lower insulin levels, cancer cells go into what is called programmed cell death or apoptosis. They recover a gene called P53. That's the guardian of the genome. When that gene is recovered, it triggers apoptosis in aberrant cells, including cancer cells. So we must lower insulin levels. We must lower inflammation. All the illnesses, all the major illnesses today are inflammatory illnesses. When we lower insulin and we lower inflammation, the remarkable things begin to happen in the body. The body cools. All the supports for the illness start to be diminished, and the body goes into recovery mode, and you must lower weight. Weight, fat cells are actually very active cells. They produce tumor necrosis factor, interleukin-6. These are very, very inflammatory compounds. But the minute you start to lose weight, fat cells start producing a substance called adiponectin. It is a very powerful antioxidant, a very, very powerful signal to cancer cells to go into apoptosis, a programmed cell death. It also creates anti-angiogenesis. It blocks blood from flowing to tumors, so it suffocates tumors. It does a whole range of things that take us out of inflammation. It helps cells become more insulin sensitive, so we utilize insulin more efficiently. When you lower weight, you do remarkable things for your health and your well-being, and weight is essential for sustaining a lot of illnesses, including heart disease, diabetes, metabolic syndrome, cancer, many, many other illnesses. So,
I want to just identify the show. You're wonderful. I love your succinctness and specificness, and it's the kind of education we probably could have gotten in the. You know, as I listen to you, I realize I was telling this to Susie, our wonderful food decoder. As I listen to you, Tom, it's informative and true wisdom. I want to open up this conversation to the panel. Kim Shimura, I want to welcome Kim Shi aboard. We're kicking off a year-long series, a conference, and really another whole way of looking at medicine from a vibrant point of view. So, Tom, as you're talking, another thing that occurred in my life was I was sitting in the high school library, which I found to be it was boring. I felt like I had some sense there was another whole life outside of what was happening in my life. But by definition, I kind of felt I was either a bad learner or I wasn't getting. And the other thing that was kind of interesting was I wasn't really interested in getting what was there. I was sort of interested in something else. And that something else was kind of a mystery. But I picked up Food Beware by Beatrice Tom Hunter. And I realized, wow, I never knew that chickens didn't come from the farm. Most chickens come from a factory farmhouse where they force hens in cages. And I started to read this. I don't know why. It opened up a new universe to me. Let me do this. You said so much. God, I just so appreciate the steps. Because, here's the thing. There's an outer framework. In Tom's book, Unexpected Recovery, these seven principles, secrets, awarenesses, when we have the framework, we could then sink in and let the wisdom bubble out. And I just love, Tom, the succinctness of the framework, the principles. Kim Shimura is with us. She's a biological and energetic medicine practitioner. She works based on some of the German model, including what they call the new medicine, which has a lot to do with the idea that shock and trauma sets us up for illness, as well as toxins in the environment. So, Kim Shi, or anybody on the panel, well, first of all, welcome, Kim Shi. You arrive a little later, perhaps, in the sequence, but wholeheartedly welcome to you. As Tom's speaking, you're someone who's been working with people many, many years, working with people who seek out healing. How do some of those things Tom's saying speak to you as a healer and someone who works with people on multiple levels?
Well, thank you, Glenn. I'm very honored to be here to join you again today. And what Tom has said, everything is multifactorial, multi-causal, is absolutely correct. By working with the body and by having a mechanism to talk to the body directly, and I always like to make it more practical for the lay people out there to understand, is that yes, we do have to deal with different dimensions. We operate in a physical dimension, on an emotional dimension, on a mental dimension, on a spiritual dimension, on an informational dimension. So different levels that we exist in. And of course, if the disorder expresses itself in the physical level, we must deal with that in the physical level. And of course, sometimes it is our thought, our spirit, our emotion that cause certain things to happen. So I like to use an analogy that makes it very simple for people to understand, is that think of it this way, right? We are a vehicle. We exist in this temporary body, which serves as a vehicle for the spirit to express itself. So think of it as all of us have a car. The car allows us to go somewhere, get somewhere every day. So there are different ways. If we are lucky enough to have a Mercedes that was given to us, where we can just drive, any way we want to, and we can bump into here and bump into there, and the car is still okay. But what if we were given a car that is not as strong, right? So we have to be more careful. Now we start to change the oil more often. We have to make sure the tire works and everything. So we have to pay more attention to the constitution of the car, so we can make sure the car can go for a long ride. On the other hand, you can have a Mercedes constitution, but if we just keep taking the car out and just start to ram into the trees and the road, the car expansion will break down. So it is the spirit, the person, the driver who drives the car that can also lead to a car damage. So in many ways, yes. We could break down because we don't have a great constitution, because we're eating the wrong food, but also the decision we make as a human being, right? By taking responsibility and know this is how we need to drive the car, but instead we just abuse it and we don't pay attention to it, and we hope we can do whatever we want and then hope for the best. So this is where the intention, the mind, the spirit can also come in and cause the illness. So I totally agree with Tom how he said, you know, like transfer into your body.
So come here, thank you. I want to give out Tom's website in a moment, Tom Monty, and I've had the honor of. You know, it's really interesting. When someone lives their message, a lot of you read about the show today, The Maverick Path to Publishing, is something I talked about. Kimchi was going to be on. So one of the people that impact me as a publisher after 35 books and also someone who works with people is that what I call the Maverick another series that we're doing, this is part of the series, The Maverick Path to Publishing, is how to break all the rules. The idea is that rules sometimes get in the way. So part of when you get creatively lit up and you begin to see things, it moves your message in a different way. So welcome to this part of the series, and that ties into our vibrant medicine. Part of what we have the opportunity to do is define things based on the real world, not the fake world. The fake world in the Kabbalah is the world around us, right? So the language and definition of the fake world is a lot of stuff that we buy into that impacts ourselves. So the meaning we give something is so powerful. Tom, first of all, what's your website? And I'll give out that email address. So if you have a question for Tom, I'll get it to him. What's your website, Tom?
TomMonty.com. TOMMONTE.com.
One more time.
TomMonty.com.
Okay, all right. Vibrant Living Network. You know,
Glenn, I wanted to just share.
Go ahead.
Glenn, it's funny. I wanted to just share because, you know, I was listening to Tom and I'm listening to Kimchi, and I know that we have Susie, the food decoder, on. And as I'm listening to some of the things that Tom was sharing about spikes in insulin and, you know, the mm-hmm. foods that we eat, how important that those are. I know that for me that was something that I struggled with for a really long time. Growing up, we would have macaroni and cheese, and we would have top ramen, and, you know, go to Burger King and have chips and sodas and all mm-hmm. those things, and I never knew what was in the food. I had no idea. It wasn't until I went to massage school that I learned the importance of nutrition and caring for my body and what was actually in those ingredients, and it was a huge eye-opener for me because knowing those things helped me to make informed decisions. And I feel like today there's so much stuff in the food industry that people are not aware of because of the misleading packaging and the terms that are used, and people are really struggling with their weight. And I know last time when we had Kimchi on, she spoke about Regulat, and, you know, there are the Whole Food mm-hmm. supplement. They're one of our underwriters, and the fact that she had tested it and how it helps to raise your vibration. And I'm not sure if people understand what that means when we talk about raising our vibration, but us being energetic beings, we have this vibration that we resonate at, megahertz. And Kimchi, you can interrupt me if I'm incorrect. But what happens is when you are at a low vibration, then you're more susceptible to things like disease and having cancer or heart disease or liver failure, whatever it may be, digestive issues. And I love how she had tested that food, because I think that even though things we think are good for us, we don't know. And so to have that technology now where we can test it is such an amazing breakthrough. And I do really see, when we talk about vibrant medicine, I do really see the trend going towards
that. All right, We're gonna continue. We're gonna bring the food decoder. What's the food decoder? You know, what's funny, Susie, is Tom has probably dispensed more resources around food and well-being and food being medicine. And maybe he's one of the major innovators in that topic. So we'll bring forward the food decoder. What is it to decode food? What is real food? We're talking about the significance of food awareness.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Happy New Year. You ready to discover a new year, a new connection, a new resource? I'm Glenn Brooks, Vibrant Living Network. I'm just honored to be with our panel, Tom Monty. He's written so many books over the last 30 years plus. He's worked with people around the world. He certifies people as natural healer consultants in Europe, New York. Unexpected recoveries, the seven principles to take charge, to surrender, to open to your spirit, to your soul. And so that physical healing that happens when we kind of get out of the way and we participate. I want to get your voice up in a moment, Susie, the food decoder. I just want to comment on one thing that Tom said. That was really impacted me when he said it. Because I'd asked him one of the things out of the seven principles. And Tom said about allowing the shock. And I thought that was so brilliant. Because I realized that as we maintain what we call normalness, a lot of us stress and strain through. And just this idea of allowing, you know, animals, when you shock an animal, when you tranquilize an animal, a tiger, an animal, the first thing the tiger will do, even if it's tranquilized 2 weeks, will actually wake up and shake, cry, and move. Always. They shake, cry, and move. They shake that trauma off. The average adult goes to the mall and they go shopping. There's something about allowing. Oh my God, I'm shocked. And then as Tom said so brilliantly that we could let the body, let the system reset. And it's, I realized in my life so many times when I allowed myself to be shocked, when I allowed myself to feel that, it's disturbing, but then there's that wonderful reset. And I'm just so happy that you said that, Tom, because in this ongoing madhouse to continue to maintain and drive in time and to hurry, this beautiful thing to just take that pause for this divine reset is really the beginning of everything, just to allow ourselves. Susie, I wanted you to talk to Tom because I think you guys have a connected world. I mean, Tom started out and shared with one of the world's leading innovators of Asian medicine, Michio Kushi. He wrote a lot and represented Michio, who was such a contribution in his way of helping people with facial diagnosis and food. What occurs to you, Susie, as the food decoder, is helping people discover what real food is? What occurs to you as you listen to this conversation? How would you like to partake? If I did want you to.
I know. I did want to say two things first for Tom. One of my very good friends, a spiritual healer, he told me cancer, if you break the word down, is comprised of C, right? The letter C. C, answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So generally, what we're doing when you have cancer is you're trying to figure out what is it that you can change, you know, what's the imbalance that you need to change, just like Tom said. And yes, food mm-hmm. is a big part of everything. I'm still under the impression, though, I don't think we're there yet as a community, that no matter what's in your food, no matter what you're eating, at some point, maybe not in our lifetime, we can energetically change it, you know, raise the vibration of whatever you're eating so that it matches your body and actually heals it. Now, I know, you know, food will heal you at this point, but it'd be really great if we could just focus on it and change it, you know. So
what's a question that when Tom was sharing, what's something, did you have a question or thought that the idea of unexpected recoveries, what?
I did have a question. I want to know what free will has to do with it, because I can tell you a story. My grandmother was dying, basically, and her body actually was just failing, and she still had the idea that she was still going to keep going. We had to feed her through an insulin tube, really, because she couldn't eat anymore, but she still had the will to keep going. So I'm wondering, what does the will have to do with you living or healing or any of that, Tom?
I think that's a great question. The seventh step in the process of healing is purpose. And there's a very fascinating series of studies that show that people who have purpose live longer. And you can actually will your life to overcome all kinds of issues, including illnesses. There was a guy, Carl Simonton, a medical doctor who was a pioneer in cancer research and cancer treatment. He was in Texas, and he discovered that people who had a goal, that is to say, I want to see my daughter graduate from college. I have to reconcile with my son. I have to get this work done, this project finished. They would push themselves to see the resolution of that issue, and they would live longer. People who had a goal or a purpose lived longer. And it was a great study, great article in the New York Times in the year 2000. What they discovered, New York City researchers found that there was a huge spike in deaths after the millennium occurred in January of 2000, and the months after, just short time after the entering into the year 2000, more numbers of deaths were far, far above the average. And what researchers, after reflecting on the increase in numbers after the year 2000 hit, they discovered that people actually had willed themselves to see the millennium. They people who would have died in 1999 willed themselves to live longer because they thought seeing the millennium in was an important factor for their lives. They wanted to see 2000 come in. So I've written a lot about the idea of will and purpose. And purpose actually marshals your life force and directs it at a specific target. And that is one of the ways that we elevate the frequencies of our entire body, mind, spirit, the electromagnetic body. Everything functions at a higher efficiency rate and a higher set of frequencies and much more in coherence. And that's a word that's very, very important. And another time we could talk about that. But when things start to...
Tom, I want to give out the email. So if people have questions and they want to interact with you next time on Vibrant Living, I'm going to surprise you. So I think we're going to do an ongoing series with Tom, and he's going to be a significant player around the Vibrant Living Network. So here's,
I want to give out
send me an email.
Website.
Go ahead, Stephanie. Go ahead. You step in here and take out the website, and let's give them an email. And also to say that we're kicking off the series with Kimchi Moya on Vibrant Medicine. That's going to stretch your mind, inspire you, and give you a whole new framework for medicine. So Kimchi, it's so great you're here today, and and Susie, by the way, that's a wonderful question on free will. I love that you asked that. Thank you for asking that for me.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Stephanie.
So I wanted to give out the website. I talked about Regulat. If anybody wanted to look it up, they're also on Facebook. It's REGULAT, and the website's regulat-usa.com. Again, you can go and like their Facebook page at REGULAT website, regulat-usa.com. And then if you want to email Glenn, it's glenn.vibrantliving@gmail.com. It's two N's, GLENN, vibrantliving@gmail.com. And I did want to extend Kim Chi's website as well. It's resopathy, resopathy.com, resopathy.com, resopathy.
I just want to mention, Stephanie, because I'm sure you're desperately interested to know this, because you're so smart, by the way. You're so smart. And we mean you do, we do business and relationship at the speed of trust. So you're thinking to yourself, I know what you're thinking psychically. I'm going to say it with the audience, okay? So the audience is thinking, you got to have this purpose. People didn't have purpose. So you're thinking to yourself, because you're smart, that Glenn already set up a tennis match with Tom 100 years from now to create will and purpose and momentum so I wouldn't die over the next 100 years so I could physically play Tom tennis in 100 years. You were thinking that, weren't you? Because I was thinking that, correct?
Absolutely. That's exactly what I was
Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, Stephanie, because I was thinking about that, because I was thinking, I'm not going to die by being unconscious and not use... Oh, okay, great story, 30 seconds. How many minutes we got to go, Stephanie? Keep me conscious. How are we time-wise? Minutes? How many minutes we got?
We have a few minutes, and if I could have Tom repeat the spelling of his last name again, I want to make sure that the listeners got that.
Yes, M like
also,
Mary,
it's good
O
for
like
spelling... Yeah, I'm sorry, Tom. Go ahead. I was going to interrupt with a silly joke. Go ahead.
Okay. M.
Go ahead.
The name is Monty, the Italian name for mountain. M like Mary, O like Oscar, N like Nancy, T like Tom, E like Echo. Tom Monty.
By the way, that is so dang beautiful. For 30 years knowing you, treasuring you, I did not know Monty was this Italian name for mountain. God, well, you pay attention, you learn something every day. All right, you guys, I want to tell you a 30-second wisdom moment. Wisdom moment coming here. My beautiful wife, Donna, her face is frozen. She has full facial Bell palsy. She's laying in the backyard. She had really bad Lyme disease. I'm calling a neurologist in Portland. I have a meeting with him. He's what they call an anthroposophical neurologist. He focuses on the soul and neurology. I get him on the phone. I want to give you guys this because I know it's going to touch you for the new year, your hearts. He says to me after our consultation, he says, Glenn, he goes, when someone is ill, like with Lyme disease, they go to sleep. They lose their sense of will. He goes, when you hang up this phone with me, you need to mobilize your wife's sense of will. I hang up the phone, and I'm sitting there, and there's an Earthshoe catalog. There's an Earthshoe catalog to my left. I grab the catalog. I go out to the backyard. I bend over. I squat down. I say, Donna, tell me what pair of shoes that you want out of this catalog. And she points to this red pair of Earth shoes. I went in the overnight of the Earth shoes, and I say to people, I say, you know, we didn't have to get a spinal tap. We didn't have to do any other interventions because once we had her mobilize that soul, you talk, getting back to your question, Susie, will, and then engaging the will. When I hang out and play tennis with Tom, I'm engaging my will. He's engaging his will. It's kind of like this beautiful thing, engagement. Engagement. The Vibrant Living Challenge, which I'm going to talk to you guys about in the new year, is all about engaging together. So we engage this mutual relational purpose. This relational purpose. Our series on Vibrant Medicine is going to be about engaging and being imaginative and allowing this new kind of, you know, this new awareness and wisdom to come through. You gave it my email. God, Stephanie, you handled so many details. Is there anything else I didn't handle that you feel is vital? What's your, is there anything else, you know, because you're like my, you're another aspect of the brain and consciousness. Is there anything we need to handle I haven't done because you're right there? Thank you for being a beloved team member.
You're welcome.
Glenn,
I would say
Kim Chi.
Go ahead, Kim Chi.
Yeah, Glenn, if I may interject just for a few seconds, I just love that word you were just mentioning, engagement. And this is what I would like to leave for all of us for the new year. The universe is constantly giving us feedback. It's a sort of engaging us in life. And so the universe is engaged to different biofeedback systems that allow us to, a symptom is a feedback system, everything to allow us to define our purpose in life. So take all the disease, all the discomfort, all the everything that we feel, whether we feel good or not, as a feedback. The universe is actively engaging us into life every moment, every second. And it's a gift. It's a gift why we are here in this body. So I just wanted to leave it at that.
Thank you. God, I just want to say to everybody, by the way, that I wish you the most blessed, aware, relationally purposeful life, and that really we don't have enough information to be pessimists, that vibrant living is going to expand into many more hours. If you're touched or moved and want to be in touch, I'm going to give you my direct number, 413-345-3747, 413-345-3747. If you're interested in being a host, sound up to be a host. You want to be a visionary leader. You want to, that's right, engage and open people to things they haven't heard of before. You want to distinguish your message. You're interested in being a vibrant speaker. Be in touch. I'd love to speak to you. Or if you're just touched by what you heard on the show today, you know, the quickest way to more wisdom is dialogue and going beyond. And what I said last year, and I think it's still going to be true in 2018, you guys let me know, that assumptions and conclusions are the poison of relationships. Assumptions and conclusions. Your life's just precious. Enjoy it. I want to thank everyone on the panel today. Much love to you all. And I want to thank Tom Monty, my beloved friend for 30 years, for all the wonderful work, including this most recent massive contribution to you guys on unexpected recoveries. Tom Monty, wow, the Italian name for mountain. What a powerful name. What a powerful life. Stay with us. We'll be with you next Thursday at 1 p.m. East Coast. Thank you wholeheartedly, everybody. Happy New Year.